Doesn't come any easier than that. All right. First of all, am I breaking any rules by not wearing a tie?
No.
All afternoon, all I thought about it was having a tie, and I was going to ask my son a lot for one, but I've seen these ties. I'm better off. Oh, well, all right. Brother, I appreciate the opportunity.
Amen.
Thanks. Amen. Well, if we can open our Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Just want to give you a little bit of a exhortation. Paul gives an exhortation here to Timothy. And I just want to exhort the church on the topic of soul winning. So here in chapter 2, verses number 3 through 4, we're going to read, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. We'll have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity.
Amen.
I pray, God, that your word will speak forth and will hear our hearts and help us to be moved by it. Pray the Holy Spirit will bear witness with it. Help me, Lord.
Amen.
And I pray, Lord, that I can deliver this message,
Amen.
Lord, in the way that you want.
Amen.
For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. The importance of soul winning.
Amen.
I would title this message, a lot of times, you know, we think about soul winning, but everybody looks at somebody else to do so.
Yep, right.
But the question that I have for you today is this: if not you, who then?
Amen.
We got a purpose in our heart to do a service for God. Obviously, the church has many ministries, and we all can be occupied in doing something for the Lord, true, but nothing more important than soul winning.
That's right.
If you look at the verse that we just read, it talks about in verse 4 that the will of God is that all men be saved. Now, let me ask you this. Is all men going to be saved? Obviously not. But we can do a work for God to make a difference for a lot of men, a lot of women.
That's right.
And that is to do the work of God.
Amen.
And the work of God that we talk about here tonight is going to be about soul winning.
Amen.
You need to purpose your heart, prepare yourselves, and be willing to do it.
Amen.
And the way you do it is simply this, is deliver the message that was delivered unto you.
That's right.
The message doesn't get any clearer, but the thing is it takes preparation. It takes preparation. It takes willingness.
Amen, brother. Amen.
If you consider what you were saved from, a lot of times we don't think about these things. We don't think about the reality of hell.
Yeah.
We don't think about the reality of heaven. We don't think about our Savior, God, manifest himself in the flesh, come to die for sinners such as ourselves.
Amen.
And yet, we come day in, day out, we go through life, we go through areas that we can very easily minister to others that are without that gift, the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
So, my exhortation to you is ponder in your heart these things. Think about these things and see the will of God.
Amen.
And the will of God doesn't stop just that all men be saved. It's not just that. Look what it says right after. In verse 4, again, we'll read, "We'll have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth." How is somebody going to get saved if they don't have the knowledge of truth?
Amen.
And unfortunately, we see a lot of churches, they have a lot of knowledge, but not putting that knowledge into practice. What good is it if we have a church full of members that have a lot of doctrine knowledge, a lot of abilities, but yet don't do nothing with it.
Amen.
What is that?
Amen.
What are you going to accomplish with all that knowledge? What are you going to accomplish with all that knowledge? I purpose myself to motivate my own self to go out, door knocking, and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And here's the beauty of it. It works.
Amen.
If you get yourself out there and you put the true message to those that want to hear it, it results. It works. As we're going to see in the scripture, it works. The power of the salvation is not in what you're going to say.
Yeah.
It's in the gospel.
That's
where the power is at. That's where you got to draw your power from.
Amen.
So again, we remember, we're very familiar with a lot of the passages in the Bible that are very familiar to most of you, but I'm sure. One of them, it will be in 2 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, where it talks about being a new creature. The Bible says that he gave his, well, let's turn there. Second Corinthians chapter 5. So we know what it talks about here, about being a new creature. Look at verse 19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world into himself, not imputing their trespasses into them, and that committing to us the what?
The word
of reconciliation. Here's the thing that bothers me the most is this. People come across unsaved individuals, and they're willing to put a track on their hands. But nowhere in scriptures it tells me to give somebody a track and then not say a word about it.
That's right.
A track can be a tool to lead, to open a conversation. But the word of God must be preached.
Amen.
And by the way, when I say preached, I'm not talking about just men. Ladies as well need to go out and preach the gospel. A woman is not called to preach into a church, to be behind the pulpit and preach. But yes, it's an obligation for a Christian lady to go out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
Door knocking. Talk to your friends.
Amen.
You need to commit the word of God to that kind of ministry, to reconcile those that are without into God and to Jesus Christ. So he committed into us the word of reconciliation. But what is the method that we need to do it by? What I see in scripture, as we're going to see, you need the preacher. A person for it to get saved is not going to happen reading a Bible. And now we got examples of that in the word of God about people reading the Bible, but yet they don't understand it. Why? Because they need to hear. They need to hear the word of God. Let's turn to the book of Romans chapter 10, and I'll show you that. Now, I use a lot of these verses here in soul winning, but I want to bring your attention to the end there of, starting in verse 13. Romans 10, verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, all of you, I'm sure, are very, very familiar with this verse. But look what comes after that. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a what?
A preacher.
I believe for somebody to get saved, they need a preacher.
Amen.
It's just not about reading. It's about hearing the word of God. And then right after it says, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing, by the word of God. If those people are out there They're not going to hear the word of God if you don't open your mouth. The norm is not you bringing people to get saved in church. The norm would be for you to preach the gospel out there,
Amen.
Get them saved,
Amen.
And then come to church.
Amen.
That's the normal way. I'm not saying there's exception. There's people that you ought to bring them to church if you can. But the best way is for you to preach the gospel into them.
Amen.
And let them know there's hope.
Amen.
That the God of this universe came and died for them.
Amen.
And he loves them.
Amen.
He wants them to be saved. Now, also when the hardest part I know, because I used to go through this, is opening a conversation to someone to lead them with the gospel. And that's the hardest part, the open conversation. So I call a coward way of telling the world that you are a Christian. A lot of times what we do, we stick a fish in the bumper of the car, or a little dove, or what else we put in those things. Just to let the world know we are Christians. But yet we don't say a word
Amen.
To anyone. But yet the Bible says not to make any graven image of any bird or fish or beast. But yeah, we throw in the back of the car. Here you are. Everybody recognizes that. Yeah, God doesn't like that. He wants you to open your word, your mouth.
Amen.
He wants you to preach the word of God.
Amen.
And that's, I call that the coward way. I'm sorry, but that's the way it is. You know, we very easily we can put a hang on a wall, a frame with a verse. We can put something in the back of our cars with a verse. Yes, all that is okay. You want to do that, go right ahead. But open your mouth
Amen.
And speak the word.
Amen.
That's what you need. That's what you need. So the method to approach someone and lead somebody to the Lord is through preaching. There's no other way.
Amen.
There is no other way.
Amen. Good.
Let's do this. We'll go into an example that we're familiar with, and that is Philip
yeah.
with a eunuch. Let's examine a couple of things that he does there. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. Again, these are passages of scripture we're all familiar with, but the detail is very important.
That's good, bud.
Look, let's start in verse 2. Well, we all familiar. So the eunuch is here in a chariot, and he's reading Isaiah the prophet. Verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Here we are where I was just finished talking about it. Yeah, he's reading. My mom used to have this humongous Bible. I remember seeing the Bible and even had pictures. I didn't mind looking at the pictures, but that's all I got from the Bible. It was a big old Catholic Bible. And she used to read it all the time. But yet, she had no discernment. She had no idea what salvation was about. But yet the Bible was there. She faithfully read it. But yet nothing. And we see examples in scripture. But yet people are quick to put the track in people's hands. And that's fine. I use that as a tool.
Amen.
That is a tool. But it's an icebreaker. It's for you to speak after that.
That's right.
And that's your opportunity. How many times we probably leave the house and we pray, Lord, today give me somebody to witness to. You know, and we pray, and we come across countless of people day in, day out, but yet we don't say a word.
Yeah.
What do you want? For God to hold them in front of you? Hold the person, and what do you want? You got to be you got to initiate the conversation.
Right.
You got to do it.
Good for you.
God puts people all over the globe, all over the world, for people such as ourselves to go out and preach the gospel.
Amen.
That's our obligation. That's our obligation. That's our duty. Amen. If you want to have rewards when you get to heaven, guess what? Nothing better than go out, soul win, and you will have rewards.
Amen.
You will have rewards. So over here, Philip sees that he does not understand what he reads, as it says in verse 30. But I want your attention, as you know, he's reading, obviously, Isaiah 53. And when he reads that passage, look in verse 35, just for the for the sake of time, look in verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth, and he began at the same scripture, and what?
Preached
into him Jesus.
Amen.
Preached into him Jesus. There's no other way for to lead somebody to the Lord without preaching.
Amen.
If you look, if you examine in Acts 2, there's 120 people in the upper room. But yet, the word of God is preached. Prophecy is fulfilled. But it's not just men that are there. They go out to the street of Jerusalem, and that's where they get saved. It's not the people that went to the upper room. The people that were in the upper room came into the street and preached the word.
Amen.
That's what took place. You don't fit 5,000 people inside the room. I've been in that place where this supposedly took place. It's a big room, but it's not big enough for thousands of people to get in there. That happened in the streets through men and women.
That's right.
So, ladies, sharpen your swords.
Amen.
It's not just for the men.
That's right.
The ladies need to go out and preach the gospel. Two by twos. That is, I'll give you, many people go out street preaching, and I have done that. I've done street preaching. I didn't get results from street preaching, but I get a lot of results from door knocking. I think that is the best way, the best method, two by two, door knocking. One speaks, the other one prays, keeps dogs at bay, keeps children at bay, keeps the... That's the purpose of the second person, is to do that kind of thing. So therefore, the message can be delivered clearly.
Amen.
And that's where the most results come in. I've done it by myself. It's not the best way. But two by twos work.
Amen, bro.
It works.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, I just had a conversation with my pastor, Brad Brandon, just before we came down last week. He left for Nigeria. He's now in Nigeria. I don't know if you heard about the news in Nigeria. It's really bad to be a Christian there, especially in the northern parts of Nigeria. So he went there to start school and preach the gospel to those that are persecuting the Christians. He goes into the dangerous place. He's not afraid. He goes to New York City, Manhattan. That's where he loves to soul win. He goes there and he preaches in the street. Not preaches in the street, but he engages in conversation and leads people to the Lord around Times Square and all that. So that's his favorite place to go. I have my own favorite places to go where I feel they are receptive, and that is the projects and the low-income housing. I go there without fear. I go there knowing that that will be more receptive than if I go into a rich section.
That's right.
Of the neighborhood.
That's right, bro.
That's where I love to go soul winning. So why is that? Oh, I mean, they don't have the right to know as well as the poor. Yes, they do, but they are more receptive. I go to where I feel they are more receptive.
Amen, brother.
The chances of getting somebody saved in a poor housing project is greater than there is somebody with a $1 million home.
That's right.
And that's a fact.
That's right.
That is a fact. So, as we see here, Philip preached Jesus.
Amen.
And guess what? It worked, didn't it?
Yes, Amen.
The eunuch ended up getting saved. Obviously, he didn't just talk about salvation. He must have talked about baptism. So, but the obvious important thing is salvation.
Amen.
Now, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 1. Let's see the example of Paul. Amen. I want to pull a couple things out of this passage here, which are very key. In chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says, so as a me is, I am ready to what?
Preach
the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Look at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God into salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Notice that at the top here in verse 15, he says that I am ready. For us to go out and preach, we need to be ready.
Amen.
You need to prepare yourself to have the message that you're going to preach to.
Yeah.
You need to be prepared.
Yeah.
If you're not prepared, you're going to run. I'll give you my testimony. When I first got saved, I loved nothing but talk about Jesus. Now, I didn't know what I was talking about. I simply was giving out what I had received. It wasn't a lot of knowledge there, but I got results in both ways. I got results where people got saved. I got results where people wanted to shoot me and kill me. You know, that type of thing. Because at the time, I didn't have a lot of knowledge. But the word of God was preached.
Amen.
Not necessarily that I led those people to the Lord, but I was making everything possible for God to bring people into their lives so they could accept Christ as their Savior. I loved nothing than doing that. Everywhere I went, my wife is there. She can testify to this. Our own family turned against us. But that's what you're going to get.
Yep.
Those are the promises of Christ. You got to be prepared to take on the cost.
That's right.
You got to be prepared. But let me tell you, the gratification of leading somebody to the Lord, there's no substitute for it.
Amen.
There's no substitute for it. I had a nun that I witnessed to for many, many years. Many, many years. And my wife, and I just had the pleasure of leading her to the Lord a couple months ago.
Wow.
And I tell you, and she kept telling me, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But yes, she did not understand. Until one day I dedicate an afternoon, me and my wife went there to see her. And I opened the scriptures and I made sure that I went step by step and that she understood what the scriptures were talking about.
Amen.
And even, listen, if I had stopped when she told me I believed in Jesus, she would have never gotten saved.
Right.
Because a lot of times we give up when somebody just says, I'm a Christian. Just be the title Christian doesn't save anyone.
Amen.
We need to give the truth out.
Amen.
The truth, the complete truth. Listen, the first two verses we saw is God wants to save all men, but that they come to the knowledge of what? The truth. If there is no truth, if it's only part of the gospel, you're making Christ of no effect.
That's right.
You're making Christ of no effect. So, prepare yourselves. Preparation is key. I'll give you an example. When I go soul winning, if you see these blue tabs, it's not because I don't know where the verses are. It's simply this. I used to go to soul winning, and a lot of times to go through the Bible, if it's hot, it gets humid. If it's cold, you have a hard time opening the Bible. What happens, the person listening to you, you can lose their attention span very quickly. So what I find that helps me is, okay, I know in the topic of a verse, I know where the tab is. I just start opening it, and the person just, it's a continual thought. So it works just for my benefit. It's not for them or anything like that. It just helps. Little things like that, it helps.
Amen.
If you keep that person, the chances are once a person hears the full gospel of salvation, the chances are that that person is going to get saved. The problem arises that religion can get in the way, or they don't want to give you the time for you to open the scriptures to them. And that's the problem. If you don't want that, if you people that want to get into debates, I come across that all the time. But what I purpose, and it's very easy for me to get tangled up in a debate, but I purpose that when I go door knocking, I will not get into any debate with any doctrine. If the person is determined to put whatever they think about across, and they don't want to hear nothing else, I give one, two chances. After there, I just move on. There's somebody else down the street that want to hear it. And that's the kind of thing, the mentality that you need to be prepared with so you can speak to these people and be successful.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Now, the other thing is when you're delivering a message to someone, you need to have, you need to be positive about it, knowing that you have that power with you that works.
Amen.
You cannot be timid about it. Have the confidence. Pray. Paul asked for prayer for boldness. If Paul asks for prayer to have boldness, what do you think we need?
That's right.
We need to have boldness.
Amen.
We need to have confidence. When you present the gospel, you need to know for sure that what you're presenting is a sure thing. You cannot have this thing, or you're not sure yourself. But that's what it works. It is the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is it works, not necessarily what you have to say.
That's right, brother. That's
good. Amen. So, what about the message? What do we have for message? Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We all know about the gospel and 1 Corinthians 15. We'll go there. First Corinthians 15, Paul says here in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory there what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Many people believe in vain. And they say they believe, but it's a vain belief.
Amen.
It's not a heart belief.
Amen.
Amen. Now, I want to bring your attention to the next verse because it's crucial. "For I deliver unto you, first of all, that which I also received." You're not giving anything out that you also don't have.
Right.
Okay? Look at this. What's the next word? How. How that Christ died for our sins according to what?
Scriptures.
Scriptures. That is key. You need to give out scriptures. Scriptures is the key. You can help the story by you explaining something away, but you need the scriptures. That's why it's important. You know very well there in 1 Peter where he talks about being born again, not of what?
Corruptible
seed. But incorruptible. I think it's important for you to have verses memorized, but have them memorized correctly.
Amen.
Amen.
It's incorruptible seed that you need, not corruptible. I believe you need the King James Bible.
Amen.
If it's changed, it's been perverse.
Amen.
It's been contained. What is the word?
Contaminated.
That's it. Contaminated. I could speak Portuguese a lot easier than I do with English, but anyway. Yeah, but you need the Word of God. You need to know how to quote verses, where to go to verses, topics. You need to be prepared not just to present the gospel with the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, but you also need other points as well. The gospel is just not just that. The gospel also knows, listen, you don't go to the doctor unless you realize you're sick. You need to know that you are a sinner. You need salvation. You need to know that you are on your way to hell, lost in your way to hell. And that is the penalty of sin. The person needs to know that. You need to have verses in that. But you need to know what to, that, listen, it takes me maybe a minute to convince somebody that they are a sinner. Most people will be freely admitted that they are sinners. Doesn't take a lot. You don't have to spend a ton of time in that negativity where it's, you know, just quenching the person with bad news. No, you let them know that if they die in their condition, they will split hell wide open.
That's right.
That's the penalty for sin. But also at the same time, after you give the bad news, listen, I got great news for you.
Amen.
Do you think God wants to put you in hell? God doesn't want you to go to hell. Therefore, he gave his very best.
That's right.
And that's where you start presenting the good news.
Amen.
If you have, and there's many ways to present it. You can find your own way. But there's a basic way you can do it that works. Again, people are afraid, oh, what about if they ask questions that I don't have the answer to? Be honest.
Amen.
Be honest and tell them, listen, I'll find out more about it. I'll come back to you and give you that answer.
That's right.
You be honest. People see the sincerity in you. Guess what? They'll hear you.
That's right.
So the gospel is presented according to the scriptures. Now, we all know about the armor of God. There in Ephesians 6, talks about the whole armor of God. But notice that at the end it says in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. Again, it's about the feet and the preparation of the gospel. What does the feet do? You need to go somewhere with your feet. You don't stand put. You go. That's why in Romans 10 it talks about the beautiful feet of those that are sent.
Yeah.
It's about going.
Yeah.
It's not about staying and expecting the world to come to you. It doesn't work that way.
That's right.
Doesn't work that way. Again, the church has many ministries, but none more important than have an outreach to reach the communities for Jesus Christ. But it fits to each individual of the church to go out and purpose in themselves to go out and preach the gospel. You can be prepared. You can have preparation over here, and when you go out, you have the tools to work with. I want to bring, you know, I'm not going to stay much longer than this, but I want to show you something that Christ spoke to, warned the church about this very work that I'm talking to you about tonight.
Amen.
Turn to Revelation chapter 2. Now, we know that John over here writes to seven churches, okay? Over here, this church, Ephesus, is writing, and they're doing good deeds. They're doing good things. And for the sake of time, if we pick up in verse 4, we read, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works.
Yeah.
Repent and do the first works. The repentance thing is two sides of the same coin. If you're doing the works on one side, the opposite of that is no works. So if he's telling you to do works, that means you weren't doing the work that he's emphasizing here on the other side. So you need to repent and go and do the first works.
Amen.
After I got saved, no one could shut me off. They needed to hear Jesus Christ. So that was my love. That was my first work. And I believe that's what he's talking about here. I believe a church needs to have an outreach because there's consequences if you don't.
That's right.
I've seen churches where people don't do anything. They just come, the congregation gets smaller and smaller, and nothing is done. Within no time, that church has its doors closed. There's more churches closing nowadays than they are opening.
That's right.
Why is that? Why is that? Let's not forget the purpose that we are here is to reach the others that are without Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the Lord would just take us home. We have a job to do. We have a job to do. I can go out soul winning every so often, but I need to do more.
Amen.
I need to commit to more. But you know what it is? We need to encourage one another.
Amen.
If you get a group of people from experience, if I don't have anybody, I get discouraged. But if I have somebody to go with, I tell you, it's mind-boggling the things, the joy that comes out of soul winning, especially when you see those souls getting saved.
That's right.
I'll just tell you, I've done many events, but I tell you about one event that I could never happen in this manner, but we had 19 people showing up for soul winning and went to Hartford, Connecticut. And we had people from different states. I just put it on Facebook and announced it and this and that. And 19 people show up. We started at 10 o'clock in the morning, went until noon, 2x2s. And then we break for lunch. We'll go back about 1:30, 2 o'clock. We'll go back out until about 4:30. We got 36 people saved.
Amen.
36 people out of 19 people that showed up for soul winning. It was an amazing day.
Yes,
and I tell you, I would do it again in a heartbeat. And we did. We did. We just did one in Waterbury. We had 7 people. 2 people got saved. We had another one. We did in New Haven, the city of New Haven. 9 people showed up. I think we had 11 salvations, something like that.
Amen.
But why am I telling you this? To boast my ego? No. To tell you that presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ, it works.
Amen.
And again, as my pastor mentioned last week, I'm not selling snake oil. I'm selling the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it consist? What this message consists of? Consists of telling somebody they are sinners and the payment is on their way to hell. They are on their way to hell when they're lost. They die and there's a second death waiting for them. Telling them that God doesn't want them to go there. And telling them that God loved them.
Amen.
That he sent Jesus Christ. And you tell them about what Jesus Christ was, that he was born of a virgin. Hey, listen, that's part of the gospel. You need to know these things.
Amen.
If they don't believe in Jesus Christ, any part of Jesus Christ, then they don't believe in Jesus Christ. So that first they must believe that the book that I have on my hands, it is the Word of God.
Amen.
If they say they don't believe it, what am I going to say?
Right.
If they don't believe in a book, I have nothing else to say. I mean, I can give them an history, how we got the scriptures and all that, and try. But if the bottom line is, if they don't believe in a book, they don't believe in what I have to say.
Right.
And I move on. And I do move on. So, again, I present the virgin birth. I gave the life of Christ, that he lived a sinless life. Yeah, he proved himself that he was the Son of God through the miracles. Yet he went to the cross, and I showed them that he took on the sin of the world, was poured on him. that we may have his righteousness. And that is important. They need to believe that without the righteousness of Jesus Christ, their righteousness will not, is not good enough to get to heaven.
Amen.
So the message is there of Jesus Christ, but yet doesn't stop there. Because by believing in Jesus Christ, he offers eternal life. And this eternal life goes along the same lines as somebody, many people believe and they lose their salvation, right? Many people I come across, they believe they are saved, but yet when I pin them down, they think they can lose their salvation. Let me tell you something. In my own, you may believe otherwise, but I believe that if you believe you can lose your salvation, you're not even saved. Here's why. Because if you believe you can lose your salvation, you are depending on yourself. You never had eternal life. Because eternal life, guess what? Doesn't stop. It's eternal.
Amen.
So if God gives you eternal life and you believe you can lose it, you're not believing in the record that God had given of his son. Does that make sense?
Amen.
And that's where it's at. So I present that gift that's eternal. And when they understand it, they have a choice. Either they accept it or they don't.
Amen.
And I go through all these steps, and that's the key. That is the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and resurrection, but there's more to it than that. Believe in the book, cover to cover.
Amen.
You may not understand it, but believe it.
Amen.
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 Now, just to finish, again, over here, as we pointed to this church in Ephesus, I want you to pay attention to the verse at the end. Remember therefore from whence, and verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come to thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. So removing the candlestick, what is this? Well, the Bible explains itself that the candlestick is the church. If God removes the church out of its place, what do you think it happens to the church that does not these first works?
It dies.
It dies. That church. Listen, when I came here today, the blessing that I got right away was hearing from this man that two got saved last week. Several got saved last night. And his vision was, wouldn't it be great to see somebody saved every week?
Amen.
But that's what has to be the goal. When I hear going to a church that is not my own church and I hear stuff like that, that is a true blessing.
Amen.
Because that is the work that Christ is looking for, that God is looking for in the church.
Amen.
Those are the fruits that we need to bear. We, talking about fruits, turn to Proverbs.
Amen. Amen, brother.
And I'll finish with this. Chapter 11. Look at verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise.
Amen.
We need to be trees of life.
Amen.
That's our fruit. You want to be wise? Go out, win souls. I'm nobody special. I'm an import from across the pond. A lot of you probably didn't even know where would that be, but I'm nobody special. The only thing I got is the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That I can give to others and benefits them. It, guess what? It benefits me because every time there's a soul that is won for Christ, I'm sure the Lord will take care of my end. And that's where it's at. There's joy. There is joy in seeing somebody come to know the Lord as their Savior. And no greater joy outside of that. There's no greater joy. I say to you, I challenge you, try it. I don't know. So I don't know who the leadership in the church you want. Get a class going for soul winning. Get a few topics of verses about being a sinner. Make a list of the verses being a sinner. Make a list of the consequences of sin. Make a couple, at least two verses of each topic. Make some verses about what Jesus Christ did to pay for those sins. Talk about the gift of God, verses and the gift of God.
Amen.
How do you get a gift? Do you have to do anything for it? No. You get it out of, without doing anything. If you have to do anything for it, then it's not a gift. It's not a gift. You need to make a list like this, prepare, knowing, going from scripture to scripture about these. And the way you break the ice is simply this. Get one of the tracts, one of the church invites, go door knocking. Somebody comes to church. Hi, we're going through the neighborhood. We are from Faithful Baptist Church. We're just going around inviting people, personally inviting people to come to church. And then you quickly go, do you go to church anywhere? And they usually say, I go to St. Michael's down the road or this or that. It doesn't matter what the answer is. Doesn't matter. You're just breaking the ice. You're just telling people. You just want to get a message across. You'll do anything to do that.
Yeah.
So that is an easier way that I find that I do that. When they say I go down the church and I say to them, sir, ma'am, more important than going to church, if you happen to die tonight, would you know for sure that you would go to heaven?
Yeah.
From that question, you get an open book.
Yeah.
If they're saved, they will tell you, no, I believe in Jesus Christ. And let me tell you something. If they give you an answer that is not about believing in Jesus Christ, most likely that person is not saved.
Right.
And every time they give me an answer that is something else other than Jesus Christ, or if they have Jesus Christ plus something else, my answer is always the same. Well, the Bible says something totally different. Would you mind if I take a few minutes to show you from the Bible how you can know for sure you can go to heaven?
Yeah.
You know, you'd be surprised how many people say, sure, I'll take the time. And once you have that, and you have, now, there's a lot of people that will say that, but their attention are butterflies above the head, you know? You know, they're not getting it. And when I see that, I go back a couple times and repeat. If I see I lose them again, I see they don't have interest. You read the person, and you just move on. You move on. But that's where it's at. Breaking the ice is that kind of thing, that kind of conversation. And then the end of it is to seal the deal. A lot of people have a hard time with that, to seal the deal. And that's the, in reality, it's not that hard. Because it simply put the whole presentation like this. Let me ask you this. Ma'am, if Jesus Christ was here next to you, or God was here next to you, and you would ask him for all that we just talked about, for this gift, do you think he would give it to you? You know, most people would say, yes, he would. Do you believe that God can hear you if you ask him for that gift? And I take him to Romans 10. Romans 10. Exactly. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. And I asked him, I said, do we have his number? How are we going to call him? And 90% of the time, they'll say, through prayer. Yeah. And that's how you do it.
That's
right. Amen. So I exhort you for you to do this kind of work. And I'm sure a lot of you are doing it. Those that are not, the young people, wouldn't it be great to take an adult and a younger person and go door knocking together? And it would be such a great experience for the young ones.
Yes, sir.
And I tell you, you will never regret it. You will never regret it. All right, let's bow our heads and pray. Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, just for the opportunity.
Amen.
Thank you for the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you for the assurance that there is in the Word of God. Lord, the assurance of eternal life.
Yes, God. Thank you.
Help us, Lord, to be faithful.
Thank you.
I pray, Lord, we'll, whatsoever we are, Lord, that we purpose on ourselves within our hearts to go out and preach the gospel, not to be ashamed, as Paul said, Lord, but help us to be diligent in the things of God. May you continue to bless Brother Ryman. Lord, may you continue to bless this church. Give him the vision that you want him to have, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you will stay faithful. I pray, Lord, for these their folks, Lord, that they'll remain faithful. And, Lord, that they will continue to be servants of the Most High God, Lord.
Yes.
I thank you so much, Lord, for being the God that you are. Lord, for loving us the way you do. In Jesus' name, amen.